Once again, we like to turn to Genesis chapter 5, read the same verses that we read this morning, verses 22 through verse 24, or verse 21 through verse 24. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Again in Genesis chapter 4, verses 16 through verse 26, we have the genealogy of Adam through the line of Cain, which is a dishonorable list of the godless. Genesis 5 opens with that statement, "This is the book of the generations of Adam." What follows is the genealogy of Adam through the line of Seth. This line is identified as the sons of God in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 2. So the ones that are listed here in Genesis chapter 5 are an honorable list of the righteous. So you have a dishonorable list of the unrighteous in Genesis chapter 4. You have an honorable list of the righteous here in Genesis chapter 5. And as we said this morning, as you read through the genealogy, you cannot help but notice that there is a continuity, there's a uniformity, and there's a very definite pattern that is followed throughout the genealogy. Leading up to the record of Enoch, which is what we just read, there are six men or generations mentioned. We have Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, and Jared. Following the text, there is the record of three men or three generations, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. But before and after the text, the pattern is so-and-so live to a certain age and begat his heir. And then it goes on, so-and-so lived so many years after that he begat his heir, and he had more sons and daughters. And then that so-and-so lived X amount of years, and he died. That's the pattern. That's the pattern of this honorable list of the righteous. And in the records of two of the men, in this list of the righteous, the pattern is broken. These two men are Enoch, who is the seventh from Adam, and that's what we read there in the book of Jude. So we have Enoch, the seventh from Adam, 622 years from Adam, if you follow it through. And you have Noah. Noah, of course, is the 10th from Adam. And there are 1,056 years between Adam and Noah. Both of these individuals, Enoch and Noah, received a message from the Lord. And it is said of both of them that they walked with God. Noah, we read of there in Genesis chapter 6, that in verse 9, that he was a just man and that Noah walked with God. So in two incidents, the pattern is broken. Again, these two men stand out amongst the honorable. We're looking at the list of the righteous. They are unique among the honorable. They are the extraordinary among the honorable. even amongst the honorable, they were the exception of the norm. Enoch and Noah, they stand out amongst the sons of God. We want to focus our attention upon Enoch, and there are three extraordinary statements made about him. He walked with God. That is stated twice for the sake of emphasis. That's an extraordinary statement. It's not just said of anyone. In fact, there's only three individuals, Enoch, Noah, and the Levites, that are said that they walked with God. We're also told that Enoch walked with God for 300 years. That's extraordinary. That's quite a statement. And then we are told he was not, for God took him. Now the Bible does not record much about this man Enoch. There's a total of 6 verses, 4 of them being in our text, the other 2 being Hebrews 11 verse 5, where we are told that he did not experience death and that he had a testimony that he pleased God. The other reference is the book of Jude, verse 14, where we are told that he was the 7th from Adam, which we see from the genealogy, and that he prophesied concerning false teachers. But what is recorded of Enoch, even though there's only 6 verses, it amounts to a wealth of information concerning this man's life. And they serve as an example and an encouragement to God's people everywhere. Well, again, we want to speak this evening on an extraordinary life illustrated in Enoch. Such a life is described in those words, walked with God. Walked with God. For you and I that are saved, this is our privilege, to walk with God. This is our opportunity, to walk with God. This is our obligation and responsibility, to walk with God. We want to consider that phrase tonight, Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Now, if you remember back in English class, diagramming sentences. Diagram that sentence. Enoch walked with God. In diagramming that sentence, the first thing you do when you diagram a sentence is find the verb. That's the very first thing that you do. The action word. That, of course, would be the word walketh. And we'll get to that a little later. But in discovering the verb, you're then able to discover the subject of the sentence. That is, who or what is before the verb? Who or what is the doer of the action? The subject of the sentence, finding the verb walketh, what comes before walketh would be the subject, and that would be Enoch. So Enoch is the subject. You say, well, what does it matter? Well, it matters a lot. The fact that Enoch is the subject is very encouraging, because Enoch is a man of flesh and blood, just like you and I. He is a man who lived under circumstances similar to what you and I live under. So if Enoch walked with God, so can we. He is the subject. Enoch is the doer of the action that is described, which is, he walked with God. Now think about that. Think about this man Enoch. He lived in a very wicked and degenerate society. Enoch lived in pre-flood times. The emphasis during those times was not upon the worship of God. The emphasis of that time was not walking in a way that was pleasing to God. The emphasis of those times was the pleasures of life. The attitude of that day was eat, drink, and be merry. It was a day of mockers and despisers. And that is why he prophesied concerning mockers and despisers. He knew all about them. He lived amongst them. It was a day when people took great pleasure in committing sin. It was a day when people spoke against the Word of God. And they mocked the promises of God and they ridiculed the godly. It was a time when very few loved God. And it was a time when those who professed to love God, they were being drawn aside by the daughters of men, Genesis chapter 6. They were being drawn aside by the fashion and the pleasures of the hour. And may I say, with the sons of God marrying the daughters of men, you better be careful minimizing saved people marrying unsaved people. God sent a flood because of it. God got tired of it. Read Genesis chapter 6. That's another subject. But it was a time when compromise was the order of the day. People were making unholy alliances, and God's people were being swallowed up with the ways and with the philosophies and with the pursuits of this world. It was a time when there was great indifference and coldness toward God and His ways. It was not only a wicked and degenerate and perverted society, but it was increasingly getting worse and worse. We see that by the time we get to Genesis chapter 6. So the subject is Enoch. He's the doer of the action. And he did so in very, very trying times. Enoch, the doer of the action described again, which is walked with God, was a man who had worldly matters to attend to. We read in verse 21 that Enoch begat Methuselah. In verse 22, that Enoch begat sons and daughters. He was a man who had a wife. He was a man who had a family. Which means that he had family responsibilities. Which means that he had family burdens. Which means that he had family concerns. He was raising a family in a degenerate, wicked, ungodly society. He was a man who had burdens. He was a man who had trials and difficulties and troubles. We can identify with Enoch. We can identify with the times in which Enoch lived. And we can identify with Enoch having a family and having burdens and responsibilities. Enoch, again, the one whose way of life is being described, was flesh and blood. Which means he was a man who had infirmities. Yet he was a man who had many limitations. He was a man who lived in a very wicked and hostile time. And he was a man with earthly responsibilities and burdens and concerns and trials. difficulties and troubles. It is He that is the doer of the action described, which is walked with God. So we have the subject of the sentence. The doer of the action is Enoch. That brings us to the verb of the sentence. Enoch walked. This describes what Enoch did. Enoch walked. In spite of the times in which he lived, in spite of everything else that was going on in his life, Enoch walked. All through the Word of God, the word walk is used to describe a habitual way of life. So when we read that Enoch walked, what is about to be revealed is Enoch's habit of life. This is not something that he just occasionally did. This was his life. This was his habitual way of life. Now the fact that Enoch walked reveals that his life was not stagnant. It doesn't say Enoch sat for 300 years. That's not what it says. It says Enoch walked. To walk is to move from one place to another. Enoch walked. To walk is a progression. It is an advancement. Enoch walked. So we have the subject, the doer of the action, Enoch. We have what he did. He walked. In diagramming that sentence, the next thing is the preposition. Enoch walked with. Enoch walked with. That's a word that expresses relation to another word. The activity of his life had a relation. Enoch walked with. His activity is walking. And it had a relation to another, which would be the object of the sentence, which is God. Enoch walked with God. In other words, Enoch, God was the object of Enoch's life. Enoch walked with God. That phrase, walked with God, is expressive of the entire Christian life. It includes everything. Walked with God. That is the life that God instructs us to live. Walked with God. That is the life that God instructs us to live and sets out in His Word. Enoch walked with God. That means that Enoch lived within the boundaries of God. To walk with God is to live right. When we read those words, Enoch walked with God, that means that Enoch lived right. Now, this to walk with God, again, this is descriptive of the entire Christian life. It means that we walk humbly. It's the only way you can walk with God. It means that you walk honestly. It means that you walk by faith. It means that you walk in good works. That you walk in love. That you walk circumspectly. That you walk as children of light. These are all commands in the New Testament. That you walk in wisdom. That you walk in a way that is pleasing to God. That you walk as Christ walked. When we read that He walked with God, it includes all of those things. To walk with God is the abundant life. Enoch walked with God. Just think, what a dwell now upon that preposition with and the object God. With God. Just think of those two words. With God. Those are wonderful words. With God. That is an extraordinary life. Living life with God. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, describing the lost sinner. One of the characteristics of a lost sinner's life is without God. Without God. So let's consider that word with. It's a preposition. It speaks of a position. In this case, the position of the extraordinary life. What is the position of the extraordinary life? With God. With God. Enoch walked with God. Now think about that word with. That means it speaks of a distinct and definite direction. Notice the emphasis is not God walked with Enoch. That's not the emphasis. Can it be said that God walked with Enoch? Well, if Enoch walked with God, then yes, God walked with Enoch. But that's not the emphasis. The emphasis is not God walked with Enoch. And I'm not so sure if that's ever to be the emphasis. We are to walk with God. That is to be the emphasis. And that is the emphasis of the extraordinary life. So the emphasis is Enoch walked with God. That means his activity of life was moving in the same direction as God. With God. Enoch is moving in the same direction as God. That's the extraordinary life. If you are moving in the opposite direction of God, if you are walking contrary to God, you're living a miserable life. You're living a destructive life. But Enoch walked with God. Walk describes his activity. With God describes the direction of the activity. His life was advancing in the same direction as God. That's the extraordinary life. To walk with God. Think about the word walk. We've already said it's moving from one point to another. That's true. But it also speaks of purpose. If you walk somewhere, you have a purpose for doing so. Enoch walked with God. That means the purpose of Enoch's life
was going in the same direction as God. That Enoch walked with God also speaks of the fact, considering the times in which he lived, that his life was a stark contrast with those around him. And I guarantee you today, if you walk with God, you will stick out. If you walk with God, your life will be a stark contrast to the course of this world. So the word with speaks of direction. But that phrase, walked with God, also means together with God. You can read that Enoch walked together with God. Enoch walked in conjunction with God. Enoch jointly walked with God. Side by side with God. So with God speaks of being together. That puts Enoch and God on common ground. If you're with somebody, you are on common ground to a degree. God or Enoch was with God. Enoch walked with God. Enoch and God were on common ground. You live your life on common ground with God, that's an extraordinary life. That's a very rare life today. With God, that means they were in the same place. If you're with somebody, you're in the same place they are. It means that they were moving in the same direction and at the same pace. Enoch walked with God. That means that his walk was not dictated by his own devices. His walk was not after his flesh, but the activities of his life was in accordance and agreement with God. Again, I love those two words, with God, with God. People say, oh, God is with you. That's true. But are you with Him? That may not be true. With God. In relation to our responsibilities, we've already seen that Enoch was a man who had responsibilities. The best way to live life in relation to your responsibilities is with God. In regard to decisions, the best way to make decisions is with God. In regards to choices, the best way to make choices is with God. In regards to our goals, with God. Think of those words, with God, in relation to your friends, in relation to your family, your careers. With God. In relation to our circumstances, with God. Best way to live under whatever circumstances you might be in right now is with God. You can't beat that. With God. Whatever the season of our life is, and we all have seasons, and the seasons change. The best way to live the seasons of our lives is with God. We don't know what we might have to face or deal with in this life. But you can be sure of this. There's no better way than with God. With God. Enoch walked with God. Enoch was together with God. So much so that he stuck out from the line of the godly. Enoch was together with God. That means that everything about God was real to Enoch. He was with God. His voice was real. His touch was real. His presence was real. His power, His love, His goodness, His long-suffering, His mercy and His grace. Enoch was together with God. All of these things were very real to Enoch. Enoch walked with God. Together with God. This means that there was fellowship with God. It means he drew near to God. It means that he leaned upon God and he depended upon God. He rested in God. He drew from God. He fed upon God. He could see God. He could feel God. He was with him. He experienced God. He was with him. Being with him means that he was occupied with God. It means that his attention was upon God. Enoch walked with God. And in so doing, he was experiencing God's refreshment, God's strength, God's direction, God's counsel, God's consolation, and God's peace. You don't experience those things apart from God. You experience those things with God. You read this book and you find no consolation. You find no guidance. You find no counsel. It is because you're not with God. Because if you're with Him, you experience those things. Now we're talking a world of difference between believing in God and being with God. And Enoch walked with God. Did Enoch believe God? Oh yes, he believed God. Did he believe there was a God? Certainly he did. But more important than that, that's not all there was for Enoch. Enoch was together with God. Enoch enjoyed God. He was with him. He was with him for 300 years. And he enjoyed God. How many tonight enjoy God? I'm not talking about enjoying the God that you've created in your mind. I'm talking about enjoying the God that is described in this book. To be with God is to enjoy God. Now there are people that we may have to be with through our life, and honestly say it's not a joy to be with them. But Enoch enjoyed God. Enoch enjoyed being with God. Enoch walked with, preposition. Next word is the object. God. In other words, God was the object of Enoch's life. That is an extraordinary life. That is a rare life. That is a life that people cannot help but notice because it is in such stark contrast with everything around us. Enoch walked with God. Then we have another preposition. For. Indicating extent and duration. Enoch walked with God for. To what extent did Enoch walk with God? What was the duration of Enoch's walk with God? 300 years. That's extraordinary. He was 65 years old when he begat Methuselah. But after that, as we saw this morning, and we're not going to re-preach this morning's message. After that, Enoch's life was characterized by this fact that he walked with God for 300 years. He did not walk with God for a little while and then back off. He walked with God. Walk, again, describes that which is habitual. A habit of life. For 300 years, it doesn't mean that Enoch never sinned. What it does mean is Enoch's habit for 300 years was to live life together with God. That's extraordinary. What a life! I mean, it doesn't get any better than life with God. It doesn't get any better than that. He walked with God 300 years. 3,600 months. 15,600 weeks. Enoch was with God. 109,500 days, Enoch was with God. For 300 years, the activity of his life was with God. Now, none of us have lived 300 years. None of us are going to. But a lot happens in 300 years. I mean, a lot happens in our short lifetimes. A lot happens in a day. A lot happens in a week. But 300 years. Imagine everything that went on in Enoch's life for a period of 300 years. But through it all, whatever transpired in that 300 years, I guarantee you, in that 300 years, there were some valleys. There were some trials. There were some difficulties. There were some sicknesses. There were some sorrows. There were some joys. There were some mountaintops. But through it all, Enoch was with God. Oh, what a life. What a life to live with God. It's not so much what happens to us. It's not so much what we might have to experience. It's who we live life with that matters. And Enoch lived life with God for 300 years. 300 years, if you surveyed his life, he was together with God. For 300 years, through it all, he was moving in the same direction as God. Through it all, for 300 years, his habit of life was that God was the object of his life. What a life. People say, I just want to be happy. I'm telling you, you live with God, you will be happy. Again, we've said it 100 times. Happiness is not a pursuit. Happiness is a result. And if you live your life with God, you'll be happy. With God, how can you not be happy? With God. With God. You live with your spouse. You live with your children. But while you're doing that, you'd better live with God. And that's an extraordinary life. You can live with your spouse without God. You can live with your children without God, and you'll be miserable. Or you can live it with God. And all the joy. The force, as we saw this morning, the force and energy behind this life, Enoch walked with God, was that he received a message. The message of God gripped his heart. We see the same thing of Noah. Noah received a message from God. The message from God gripped his heart, took hold of him, and the result was the same. Noah walked with God. The force behind this walk was that Enoch understood the message of this book. Enoch believed the message of this book. Enoch was persuaded that the message of this book was true. It gripped his heart. It gripped his heart for 300 years. And the result was Enoch walked with God. In closing, you read in verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That is explained in Hebrews chapter 11, if we turn there. Hebrews 11 and verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated. That means he was carried across. He changed from one place to another. Enoch was translated that he should not see death. That's why we do not read in Enoch's record, and he died. Enoch did not see death and was not found because God had translated him. God had carried him across. For before his translation, before God carried him out of this life, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? He was with God. He walked with God. I believe this is literal. I believe that Enoch was literally carried out of this life without experiencing death. You say, explain that. I don't need to. It's true. But I believe it's also true figuratively. Enoch walked with God. And there is a sense that when we walk with God, we are raised above this world. This is a literal fact. Enoch was translated. God took him. But there is a figurative lesson here. Walking with God, living life with God, it's not about, I'm trying so hard. That's not what it's about. You get with God, you won't have to try so hard. With God, you live above the world's way of thinking. People say, I'm trying to change my way of thinking. Then get with God, and it'll change. It's living above the world's philosophies. You live your life with God, you will depart from the philosophies and the foolishness of the world with God. It's living above the world's pursuits. Well, I'm trying. I'm trying to put God first. I'm trying really hard. It's not going to work. The key is to be with God. That's the key. You get with God, and your pursuits will be right. You get with God, and your priorities will be right. Walking with God is the way to live above the world's lusts. Oh, I have this problem with this certain lust, and I'm trying. I'm trying really hard. I'm reading books. I'm seeing a therapist. I'm trying. I'm trying. Get with God. Take care of it. It's a way to live above the sinful pleasures of this life. There is so very much. We have just scratched the surface in that statement. Enoch walked with God. Oh, that's what I want to do. I want to live my life with Him, with God. Whatever it is that I have to face, I want to face it with God. I'd hate to think of facing it without Him. With God. I mean, life doesn't get any better. This is wonderful. I can live life with God. What an extraordinary life. That is my privilege, that is my opportunity, that is my obligation and responsibility. To walk with God. I ask you tonight, who are you walking with? I ask you tonight, who are you living with? Who are you going through life with? There's no better way, there's no better life. With God. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.